I've watched them, how they do. The one thing that impresses me the most about them is the way they love people. They just love their people. They just love people, and they love their pastors. I tell you right now, they are a tremendous example. I think we have a kindred spirit when it comes to loving our pastors. And I see the way they love Pastor Sonny Jr. That's their launching pastor and our founders. And I the kindred spirit that we hold together is that we love our pastors and submit to our pastors and really just follow their advice. And I've watched them through the years not waver in that. And the steady, consistent, and they have a great church. I'm telling you, their church is great. I've been there to preach before. It's electric. It's like, walk in there and it's like, whoa. If you're dead, you'll definitely come back to life. Revival happens. Amen. And I've had the opportunity to preach with them. We've been waiting for them to come to Albuquerque, so I want to cut to the chase, and I want to introduce you to Pastor Mondo and Janine Garcia. He's a gang rep. He's a multi-regional for the gang in, on the and he oversees the East Coast regions, and they got a fabulous church there in Summerlin. And wherever in the Las Vegas area and you want to go to one of the churches, you go visit their church. I tell you, you'll be blessed. Amen. So let's have them come right now. And we love them. Sister Barbara and I love them very, very much. And it's so good to finally have you here in Albuquerque. Come on, give my hand. Amen.
Be seated. I'm going to have my wife say hello to everybody. I'm kind of nervous to have her do that because she does so good. And then I'm like, why am I even here? Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to have her go ahead and share it this morning.
Well, good morning. I am so glad to be with Victory Outreach Albuquerque. Give yourselves a big hand. We are one big family. And, you know, I got to say, we love your pastors. We love your pastors. We love your ministerial team. You guys have a special place in our heart in Las Vegas. I bring you greetings from Victory Outreach Summerlin. They love you so much. And I'm just excited to be here this morning. And what a great weekend it's been. And I know we're not even finished with Sunday, but it's going to be a powerful weekend. And I thank God for Sister Barb. She's been such a great friend to me. Pastor Dan been a great friend to us. And how many know you need friends in the ministry? And they are definitely friends for us. And I just want to thank God. Yesterday we had Choose Purity, and it was such a beautiful ceremony to see all these women, gang girls, take a vow before the Lord to choose purity. And what a great ceremony. What a great atmosphere it was. Just to see these young girls give their lives 100% over to the Lord. And I'm excited for what God's going to do today. I want to let you know that this year, God has been doing something special within my life. And he's been making me go back to a place of revisiting my yes. And I know that that's what he's doing all over the outreach. And I pray this morning that you would revisit your yes again. He's taking us deeper like never before, making us desperate to go after him. Do you feel that this morning? Oh, I've been feeling that like never before. And I know this morning is going to be a great, great morning because my favorite preacher right here is going to preach down the house. Because how many know it's God's word? And when it's God's word, it's going to penetrate. Amen. And I just want to thank you so much for your hospitality, for your love, everything, all the love that you've shown us. We really, really appreciate it, and we thank God for you. God bless you this morning.
Come on, give Jesus a good hand. I want the worship team to come back up real quick, amen. How many already have church? I said, how many already have church? This morning, come on, give the Lord some praise a little bit. Come on, like you got energy this morning. Like you woke up with victory. Hey! Come on, somebody! I want to do that song, How Can I Forget? That's it. That's the jam. That's the hit. Are you guys ready? We're going to bring a little bit of Vegas to you. Is that all right this morning? Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand. Come on. Come on, stir yourself up a little bit. Ow! Here we go!
Love it, Lord. Never felt me in. Never felt me in.
Bible says, make a joyful noise. Come on.
How can I break it? How can I break it? How can I break it? How can I break it?
I want you guys to follow me. Keep singing. Keep singing.
Never fail me yet. Never fail me yet.
You guys ready? The devil's a liar this morning. Come on. This morning, somebody shout to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't get tired, Albuquerque. It's all that sopapilla coming out of you. Come on. Give it on a big hand. Come on, a big hand. Come on, Victory Outreach. Hey! Oh, I feel
hallelujah.
I feel revival. I said I feel revival. I think we're getting set up this morning. For some miracles. Tell your neighbor, do you want it? Tell your other neighbor, you want it? Tell the person behind you, do you want it? Tell the person in front of you, do you want it? You gotta want it, you gotta want it, you gotta want it, you gotta want it. If you don't want it, then you ain't gonna get it. But if you want it, you'll get it. Ah, we want it this morning. You're going to another level. I said you're going to another level. You're almost there. I said you're going to another level. Your marriage is going to another level. Wow, your ministry is going to another level. Your children are going to another level. Your business is going to another level. That's the word for Albuquerque. You better get ready, because you're going to another level. Say, what's wrong with that man? I've been tapping in. See, sometimes we miss it because we haven't been tapping in. Don't worry about my message. I'm going to get there. Sometimes we miss it because we haven't been tapping in. I don't know about you, but I've been tapping in. Because I've had to tap in. What does that mean? I've been going through it. I've been going through it. I'm going to come clean, dirty. I've been going through it. And so God has caused me to tap in. But something happens when you tap in. When you tap in, God reminds you. Come on, somebody needs to be reminded this morning. You're done for God. You're done for God. God delivered you. God sets you free. brought your family back. You're done for God. But you gotta tap in. Hey, if you tap in, He'll remind you. He'll remind you of the promise. He'll remind you of the promise. I came ready this morning. I couldn't talk yesterday, but how many know I could talk today? Go ahead and be seated. We're going to get in there. I just got to get you ready for the word. Because even though I'm getting some of you ready for the word, some of you look like this. What's wrong with him? That's why you're stuck. I can just be honest here because it's not my church. My church loves me. Come on, somebody. Sometimes they love me too much. When I get done preaching, sometimes I feel like they're going to carry me off the altar on their shoulders to the green room. Come on, somebody. You got to tap in. We were designed to live a victorious life. I'm going to say it again. We were designed to live a victorious life. There you go. He's catching it. Well, we can have church. I preach like this all the time in my church. Amen. I think I got my pastor spirit, a little bit of evangelist inside of me. Amen. We were designed to live a victorious life. But sometimes we miss it. And we miss it sometimes because of our past. And we miss it sometimes because of our upbringing. So when we hear messages like, you're supposed to be victorious, you're supposed to be the head and not the tail, you're supposed to be above and not beneath, you're supposed to be blessed, you're supposed to be all this. Sometimes we miss it because of where we came from. I could not be trusted with $5 in food stamps. No, the real food stamps. Remember the ones you had to pull out of the book back in the days? Now it's an EBD card, like you got a credit card. You ain't got a credit card. You got an EBT card. My mom couldn't trust me with $5 in food stamps. She would send me to the store and say, bring me back my change. Because if you gave them a $5 food stamps, you got real money back in the days. And I remember walking to the store with my mom, my sister, and my brother. And we'd walk to the store to get groceries, and I'd be so embarrassed. Come on, anybody ever been embarrassed when you were younger? I was embarrassed, man. Shoes that didn't fit me. Come on, somebody. And we get there in line, 7 baskets full of food. And I'd be so embarrassed. I'd say, please don't let any of my friends see me here with my mom paying in food stamps. And I would be so embarrassed. And then we would push all 7 baskets back home. One on each arm, pushing them full. And be so embarrassed. And we get to the light. And I'd say, please don't let the light be red. Please don't let the light be red. Because then I'm about to sit at the corner with my mom, my sister, my brother, and these 7 baskets of groceries. And we get there and the light would be red. And I'd be so embarrassed. And then all of a sudden we start getting closer to the house and woo, I started getting happy. Come on, somebody. Because we had that good cereal. Come on now. We had that real milk. Come on, somebody. That good cheese. Come on now. But if we let our past stay a part of our present, then we miss the victories that God has for our life. Victorious living. We were designed. We were manufactured to be victorious. I'm going to say it again. We were, the manufacturer designed us to be victorious. The Corvette was designed to go fast. The Mercedes was designed to look good. The Jeep was designed to go off-road. Why? Because the manufacturer knew why he was making the car. Listen, your manufacturer knew why. I'm going to get you there. He knew why he created you. See, we thought we those things happened because God didn't like us. Life didn't like us. No, no, no. God designed you and I to make it through those things. Our manufacturer knew what he was doing when he designed us. I look back at my life. I grew up in the neighborhood. You know the testimony. I grew up in La Puente. Come on, somebody. Right there on Aleron and Maple Grove. Come on now. Got saved. Went to the men's home 22 years ago. I said, God, why all those things that God said? Because I was creating you for your now. You couldn't be trusted with $5 in food stamps, but now we got a building that is worth $1.5 million. I'm going to say it again, $1.5 million. We need $45,000 a month just to survive. But I couldn't be trusted with $5 in food stamps. I came to tell somebody this morning, God has something big for your life. Created you to be victorious. I don't know how long I got, but in my church on Sunday, we say all day Sunday. Somebody say all day Sunday. I give them, I say, good morning, everybody. How many know what today is? They say all day Sunday, Pastor. Come on now. That's right. When I started, I was in church all day Sunday. Pastor Sonny Sr. had 3 services in the morning, and I was in the choir. And we sang the same songs all 3 services. And then when he would get inspired, we would have to stay for the Spanish service. And then when he got really inspired, we had to come back and sing Sunday night. Come on, somebody. All day Sunday. Somebody say all day Sunday. I'm just getting you ready because I don't know how long I'm going to preach. And we got to be obedient, man. He's a veteran. Created to be victorious. Let me get to my scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33 through 50. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Trust me, it's there. Amen. I got to look on the screens because I'm getting older. And I forgot my glasses. Praise the Lord. I'm 47. When I turned 45, my eyes started acting weird on me. So, yeah, pray for me. Amen. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. And he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Stop there. You can read on in your time. When we read this scripture, we see immediately why David was so determined to do something great for God. Later on in the scripture, the Bible says that David's father told him, I need you to take a lunch to your brothers. Because your brothers are down there. There's a war going on. There's a battle going on. There's some things happening. I need you to take this little lunch to your brothers. There's something I've learned about God. Is that sometimes the big things are wrapped up in the little things. That sometimes the big things are wrapped up in the little things. It's easy to get people to do the big things, but it's hard to find people who are willing to do the little things. See, when God called me to full-time ministry, you know what I was doing? Somebody said, what were you doing, Pastor Mondo? I was cleaning toilets. No, I'm being serious. I was over the property at the mother church in La Puente. I was cleaning toilets. I was mopping floors. I was stacking chairs. And guess what I still do when I go places? I like to serve. That's why you see me jump up to grab one of these jars, because I want to serve. Because the big things are wrapped up in the little things. My first ministry that I had in the mother church is I was over the choir robes. That was my first ministry. And I was mean because I was fresh out of the home. You know, when you first come home, you're mean. Everybody's in sin. Nobody's right. The youth are in sin. Leadership's in sin. You know, just, right? I was mean. So I'd bring the robes out of the storage room. I would put them there. I would stand there with my clipboard. Nobody gave me a clipboard. I got my own clipboard. Because I was learning that the big things are wrapped up in the little things. And so I would stand there with my clipboard and I numbered all the robes. Nobody told me to number the robes. I numbered all the robes. And I would hand out the robe and do the checklist. And when service was over, I'd bring out the cart. I would take back the robes. I'd put all the robes up on the thing. Come on, somebody. Right? Then all of a sudden, one day I go, man, I'm going to take it to another level. So I got a little table with a tablecloth. And I would have cocoa in the morning with some fondue. Come on, somebody. Right? And they say, wow, look at Brother Mondo, man. He's taking this thing serious. Yeah, I was taking it serious because I started to understand that the big things were wrapped up in the little things. See, David thought he was just taking a little lunch. He did not know that by him taking the little lunch, that he was going to kill a big giant. Somebody needs to hear me this morning. He said, I'm just taking this little old lunch. And then when he got there, Goliath was there, and he was dogging out his God. And he said, no. Nobody's going to do nothing about it. I got to do something about it. And the reason why he was so excited is because he was able to connect his past victories with his current situation. How many have been here for 10 years? How many have been here for 5 years? How many have been here for 15 years? How many have been here 20 years? How many have been here since Jesus was here? Come on. Hey. Guess what? Guess what? You got a lot of past victories. I heard somebody say, oh, we don't talk about the old glory days. No. Sometimes we got to talk about those days. That's what David did. David stood before Saul and he said, hey, look, man, you might think I'm a little kid. I came here to bring you a little lunch. But guess what? I killed a lion. No. I killed a lion. And not only did I kill a lion, but I killed a bear. And if God gave me the strength to kill the lion, and if God gave me the strength to kill the bear, then I know that God will give me the strength to kill this giant. You got to connect your past victories to your current situation. That's why David was so excited to get in the battle. He said, I'll get in the battle, no second thoughts. Because if God was faithful yesterday, God will be faithful today. And God, is anybody hearing me this morning? You think God is the God that can only deliver you from drugs? He's bigger than that. If that's the case, I'd still be in La Puente at my mama's house. I'd be that uncle. You know that uncle? Don't get mad if you're that uncle. But you know that uncle? Still lives at mama's house. All the kids are afraid to go by his door. They're like, ooh, the kukui. The kukui lives in there. Don't go in there. When all the soldiers were afraid, paralyzed, David was full of confidence. But the confidence was not in himself. The confidence was in God. I said it was in God. That's why it is important for the church to learn how to have encounters with God. We can get away from that. Hey, in our city, in my church is banging, man. It's a great church. And sometimes you can get caught up ministry and things, and you can forget what has got you to the place that you're in. It is the encounter that we have with God. Because it's in the encounter that God reminds. It's in the encounter that God refreshes. It's in the encounter that God empowers. I'm not lying. Check out the Bible. Moses had an encounter before he freed the slaves. Joshua had an encounter before he went into the pit, the prison, the palace. Come on now. Mary had an encounter with the angel before she got conceived with Jesus. It's the encounter. When was the last time you had an encounter? No. I mean, like, even this morning, what if we just said, which we're not going to do it, but what if we just said at the altar call, God was just moving, and we just said, we're just going to pray all day. You guys got real quiet right now. You go, this guy's crazy. He might just do that. And we say, no, I got to go. I got to go to Walmart. I got to go to 99 cent store. I got to go over here. I got beans on the stove. I got. Come on now. I just killed that deer. I got to go make jerky. I got to go. Well, now I'm stepping on toes. I don't care. I told you. I'm going home. The encounter. I've been having encounters with God recently. I'm talking about the encounters where I'm on my face and I say, God, I will not get up until you touch me. I will not get up till you heal my body. I will not get up till you heal my wife. I will not get up until you do something in my life. An encounter with God. See, David had encounters with God. That's why he wasn't afraid. Come on, somebody. To live a victorious life, we must first learn how to battle with what we have. when you read the story, Saul said, okay, go for it. You're going to fight this giant? Put on my armor. David put it on. He looked like a guy in the men's home that was wearing a suit five times too big for him. Come on. I remember I was in a men's home. They gave me a suit. I went to church. I go, this thing's like a 5X. I was sucked up. I weighed like 95 pounds. Come on, somebody. Soaking wet. So there's David. Got this armor on. He's like, this don't fit me. He said, I got to take it off. And he had to fight the giant with what was in his hand. What's in your hand, Victory Outreach? What's in your hand, Albuquerque? Let me tell you what's in your hand. If you don't know, let me remind you. You know what's in your hand? Commitment. Longevity. Weathering storms. Come on, somebody. Gora is in your hands. Prayer is in your hands. The word of God is in your hands. Past victories are in your hands. You gotta fight today. What is in your hands?
I ain't got nothing in my hand.
Stop that pobrecito mentality.
You don't understand, Pastor.
Shut up. Yes, I do understand. You don't understand. I love getting high. So did I.
A guy in my church, I struggle with women. You don't understand. Hello, I'm a man too.
But you learn to get victories. Come on, somebody. You're not always a victim. Come on, that victim mentality. Like what my pastor says, that piojo mentality. I was in Phoenix and this lady goes, she yelled out of nowhere, she goes, what's piojos? She was heckling me. I go, be quiet. Don't act like you never had bugs in your hair. And I left her over there by herself. Come on. Haven't been invited back. You got to learn how to fight with what's in your hands. Hey, we've been doing it now for 10 years. Guess what? I just threw everything out. I said, I can't fight with that stuff no more. I got to fight with what's in my hands. And all I was taught to do was pray. I could hear my home director's voice at different times in my head. It's kind of weird. It's scary. He sounds a lot like Jesus. Come on. Brother Leonard Flores, I can hear him say, you better be praying. You chavala. I'm like, oh. Was that Brother Leonard or was that Jesus? Who was? I got to fight with what's in my hand. Come on, somebody. There are enemies to living victorious. There's an enemy to living victorious. And one of the enemies is you have a mistaken identity. You have a mistaken identity. I had to learn this. I'm telling this. That's for young preachers, young guys coming up. Just be yourself. I try to preach like Pastor Philip. Didn't work. I try to preach like Pastor Ezra. Didn't work. I try to preach like my pastor, even to stand like my pastor behind the pulpit. Right? I want to be my pastor. I want to be my pastor. Mistaken identity. That's what Saul was trying to do to David. He would say, put on my armor. You know why Saul did that? You ever see that movie Troy? Remember when his nephew ran out in his armor and everybody thought it was Troy running out? That's what Saul tried to do. He tried to get the glory through David. So you're going to look like me. They're going to think it was me. No, mistaken identity. I got to get all that stuff off. I got to be who God's called me to be. Come on, somebody. I got to be Mondo. I got to preach like Mondo. I got to minister like Mondo. I got to fight in the spirit like Mondo. Come on, somebody. We are designed to live a victorious life. It is not God's desire for you and I to live a defeated life. Why are we designed to live a victorious life? Because Christ was victorious. I said Christ was victorious. No. Christ was victorious. Our God is a victorious God. They thought they killed him, but they didn't kill him. He sits at the right hand of the Father. Come on, somebody. And at the right time, I said at the right time, he's going to come back for you. So we could be victorious because Christ is victorious. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The power to be victorious does not depend on our background, our education. I barely graduated high school. All right, well, at least you graduated, but I barely graduated. I think they graduated me just to get rid of me, actually. I just said, just give this guy his diploma so he can get the heck out of here. Doesn't matter your education, your background, your financial status. Come on, somebody. Living victorious depends on how much we are willing to allow God to move in our lives. People ask me all the time, Pastor Mal, how does your church get to that level? How did your church get over here? How did your church get over here? I said, God's doing it, man. I'm not doing it. I'm nobody. I make mistakes. When I first started pastoring, I was so raw. Right? I was raw. Somebody say, how raw were you? Okay, I'm going to tell you. I was the guy, like, if somebody said something about me on Facebook, I'd go to their house. Knock on the door. Hey, what's this? What's that? I know you're talking about me. Come on, come clean, dirty. I'm right here in front of your house now. What does that mean? What are you saying? Oh, yeah, whatever. Little sissy. Raw. But there's something I've learned. Listen. Becoming victorious is not about living a perfect life. Because we'll never be perfect. But watch this. But we can learn to perfect the pursuit of perfection. We'll never be perfect, but we can perfect the pursuit of perfection. In other words, this, don't give up. And here I am 10 years later, and I'm so loving. I'm like, come here. I'll cry with you. Or before I was like, yeah, come on, snap out of it, man. Been bumper jacked, stabbed. Come on, ran over by a car. You're crying, brother, come on. Perfecting the pursuit of perfection. Don't give up. Tell your neighbor, don't give up. Tell your other neighbor, don't give up. That was David. Look at David's life. His life was a mess. If you study the life of David, if you look at all of his sons, they were all messed up, man. He was not going to win the Dad of the Year award. But he never stopped pursuing God. He learned how to get into the presence of God. He learned how to bring his frailties. He learned how to bring his shortcomings before the Lord and say, God, here I am. I'm all messed up, but I'm not going to stop pursuing you. I'm not going to stop going after my calling. I'm not going to stop the pursuit. And now today, everybody wants my help. All my cousins, all my aunts, all my uncles, my sister, they all send me their kids. I feel like telling some of them, oh, now you're going to send me your kids? You never invited me to your parties. I told my sister that. She goes, yeah, because you would have got drunk and started fighting somebody. I go, still, you should have invited me. They send me all my nephews, all my nieces. Come on, somebody. Why? Because I didn't stop the pursuit. I hadn't seen my oldest son for 21 years. He lived in Silver City, New Mexico. So I got New Mexico ties. My father was born in Silver City. He was born in Santa Rita. So if you know New Mexico, you should know where Santa Rita, born in space. It's not there no more. The mines knocked it down. It's by the Kneeling Nun. Come on, some. How many know where that's at? Okay, then you're really from New Mexico then. 21 years. Hadn't seen my son. He's getting ready to graduate my men's home in 1 month. Wow! Because I did not stop the pursuit. Oh, I could have gave up so many times. I could have threw in the towel so many times. I got discouraged so many times. I got let down so many times. I failed so many times. But I did not. I did not. I did not stop the pursuit. That's for you quitters. I'm going to quit because I feel. I can't because I got burnt out. You don't get burnt out. I don't believe in burnout. You know what I believe happens? You don't get burned out. You forgot your purpose. I'm burnt out. No, you're not burnt out. You're not having no encounters with God, and you forgot your purpose. Because when you remember your purpose and you're having encounters with God, you might get tired. Well, you might get weary. You might get a little dizzy. You might, oh man, I need one day off. Take one day off. Don't take your life off. Take a couple days of rest. Don't take your calling off. Forgot your purpose. My purpose keeps me going. My purpose keeps me going, man. When it gets hard, it's my purpose. When I'm in the valley, it's my purpose. When I'm tired, it's my purpose. Come on, somebody. That's my purpose. What's my purpose? What's my purpose? You got to learn to submit. Submission. Somebody say submission. What's submission? You submit to the mission. You submit to the mission. What's the mission? When you get married, what's the mission? I promise to love, honor, and cherish, forsake all others, through sickness and health, the rich or the poor, to death do us part. I submit to the mission. When you get called into ministry, when you get called to be a life group leader, when you get called to be a ministry overseer, when you get called, you learn to submit to the mission. I know those of you that are burned out, you're mad at me right now. But you'll be all right. We're designed to live a victorious life over sin, over the power of the enemy, over depression, over anxiety. You ever had anxiety? I had it for 2 years straight. 3 years ago, I had it for 2 years straight. I'd be doing meetings, I'd feel my chest. I'd stop meetings. I'm going upstairs. I was like, what happened to Pastor? Be dead sleeping, dead sleep. Wake up, Janine, I can't breathe. Jesus, don't let me die. Take me to the hospital. Went to the hospital so much, the doctor looked at me and said, don't come here anymore. Barney looked and he goes, oh, this guy, don't let him come anymore. There's nothing wrong with him. We've done everything. There's nothing wrong with him. And I had to learn this, that living a victorious life means this, that I have power over anxiety. I got power over depression. I got power over sickness. I got power over generational curses. Power over sin. What's sin? Sin, S-I-N. Separate, investigate, navigate. This is for those of you that are in sin. Separate, investigate, navigate. Separate yourself from the sin. Investigate why you keep sinning and navigate yourself around it. Well, the devil is a liar. You try to take my voice, but the devil is a liar. Somebody's going to break through. 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 Somebody's going to get up. Somebody's going to get up. You've been down. You've been down. But you're going to get up. Well, hey, yes, Jesus, don't worry about what I'm doing. I'm preaching to myself right now. Jesus, I need you in the morning. I need you in the afternoon. I need you at the nighttime. Jesus. Say, what's wrong with that guy? I'm preaching to myself. I need a good word this morning. I feel like I'm with family this morning, Pastor. Somehow we develop this thinking that we need to achieve to be victorious by being good, doing good, and that if we be good and we do good, then we'll be victorious. That's not how it works. Being victorious is not based on performance. It's based on receiving everything that Christ has for us. I told my mom one time, I go, Mom, you're going to go to hell. When I was fresh out of the men's home. I told you, I was crazy. I got my mom and my grandma together, both of them. My poor grandma, 86 years old. And my mom, I go, you guys are going to go to hell. My grandma goes, ay, mijo. She started doing her rosary real fast. Mijo. I go, if you don't have Christ in your life, you're not going to go to heaven. But I pay my taxes. I stop at red lights. I obey the law. I go to jury duty. I don't try to lie to get out of jury duty. I go to jury duty. I do all these things right. I go, no. You need Christ. I had the opportunity. My grandmother was 97 years old. I had the opportunity to pray for her and lead her to the Lord right before she passed away. See, it's not the good things we do that cause us to live victorious. It's based on how much we allow God to move within our life. Can somebody say amen? To live a victorious life, there will be times that we need to learn how to ignore the crowd. You got to ignore some people. Now, your pastor, I know some of you are like, see, that was confirmation. That was it. I was waiting for confirmation. Now, your pastors, sometimes you got to ignore your family that don't even come to church. Oh, it got quiet. You still go to that church? The Cholo church? In my church, I got one cholo. And he don't even come all the time. Sometimes you got to learn to ignore the crowd to get your victory. Can you imagine if we would have paid attention to the crowd, we would have never got saved. Hey, Weddle, where are you going? I'm going to Victory Outreach. Oh, come on, that church. I remember when I got saved, my mom, I paroled. Come on, somebody. I paroled to my mom's house. And because I was paroling to my mom's house, she said, you're going to go to church with me. And how many know I had to listen, right? Or I was going to be homeless. So I got home on a Friday morning. That's a good day to get out of jail. I partied all day Friday. I partied all day Saturday. I partied all the way into Sunday morning. But I went to church with my mom. Hickeys on my face. I'm being honest. On my forehead, on my cheek. Like a maniac. I'm shaming the devil, man. Generational curses could get broken. My son, 15 years old, he got a Bible study with 53 people. He has to get a bus to bring them to church. Why? Because God breaks generational curses. So I go to church with my mom. My poor mom, she's looking at me like, oh my God, look at my son. 95 pounds. My pants wrapped four times around me. Tied with a shoestring. Come on, little buddy. Didn't even have a belt yet. Stood in the back of the church. Pastor Sonny was preaching. Don't remember what he preached about. I just remember when he said, if you want to give your life to Jesus, we want you to come up here. Don't worry about that. I'll preach louder than that noise. Bargain with God, right? So I'm standing there. I'm like, oh, man, I'm not going to cry. 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 And then I'm talking to God. I'm like, okay, God, if you're real, then somebody's going to come tap me on my shoulder and tell me to go up there. And right when I thought that, somebody tapped me on my shoulder and they say, hey, would you like to go up there? I said, oh, all right. I'm walking up. Big church, right? I'm walking up like, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry. Halfway up. Something years of never crying because my dad would sock you in the chest if you cried. Come on. Men don't cry. Women don't cry. 20-something years, right? I couldn't cry with the homeboys, right? Can't imagine being in your cell. Hey, bro, I'm going through it, bro. Crying. Why am I saying this story? I don't know. Got to ignore the crowd. There's always going to be haters. The woman with the issue of blood had to ignore the crowd to get her victory. She had to ignore the crowd to get her victory. There is people in the crowd saying, there's that woman. Oh, my God, she's trying again. Oh, my God, she's going to make an attempt again. She's really trying to change again. She had to ignore the crowd. I don't care how many times you have to make an altar call. You make them. When I go to Mighty Men of Valor, they'll do salvation calls. I'll make the altar call. You got to ignore the crowd to get your victory. Can somebody say amen? To live a victorious life, you have to learn to give God your best. The woman with the alabaster box gave God her best. The widow with the two mites gave God her best. Listen, it's not the amount, it's the act of giving. It's not the amount, it's the act of your giving. Give your best. When you give your best, it brings victory into your life. Can somebody say amen? Pastoring for 10 years, I'm giving my best. I'm still giving my best. Worship team, you guys can come. I got a lot more, but I'm going to end with some soft music. I have a part two to this message. Maybe Pastor will have me come back someday. And we'll do part two. All right, let's do part two at 2 o'clock. People are like, what? All day Sunday, what? Double services! Wait. What, God? Double services! What? Double services! All day Sunday. Woo. I think we stirred something up, Pastor. All day Sunday. I love the story Pat used for the giving, because I use that scripture a lot too. And sometimes we could say, I've been guilty of doing it, where, you know, he didn't want to give his best, and so, you know, he didn't pass the test. And I also feel what the Lord was trying to tell him was this. He was trying to tell him this. You've done great. Now let me reward you. See the shift? You've done great. You've given, you've done all this. You've done great. Now guess what? I want to take you to another level now. I'm going to take you to a whole nother level. There's many people in this room, you've been doing great. And God wants to take you to another level. He wants your address to be victory. He wants your address to be victory. Not just a place you visit, but a place where you live. I live in victory, man. Is it hard? You bet. Sometimes I gotta grab myself by the shirt, smack myself, snap out of it. I've called you to be victorious. I've called you to be victorious. You know what has to happen this morning? Is some of you are going to have to take a plunge. Watch this. You're going to have to take a plunge. You're going to have to get in, man. See, the plunge for some of us this morning will mean this. When you take the plunge, God's going to heal you. You haven't got your healing because you haven't taken the plunge. Naaman took the plunge in the water. Healed. Some of you have to take the plunge this morning, because the plunge is going to cause you to declare yourself. Jesus got baptized. And after he got water baptized, God the Father looked down and said, that is my son in whom I am well pleased in. But he had to declare himself. Some of us need to take the plunge simply so that God could show us that he's not done with us. Watch this. When Moses took the slaves out, God parted the water. He could have swallowed up everybody if he wanted to. He was God. But he didn't swallow them up. You know why he didn't swallow them up? Because he was not done with them. I came to tell some people this morning, you haven't got swallowed up because God's not done with you. You haven't got swallowed up. Mija, you haven't got swallowed up yet because God's not done with you. That thing hasn't swallowed you up because God's not done with you. Those things in my life have not swallowed me up yet because God's not done with me. He's not done with me. You gotta take a plunge. You gotta take a plunge. You gotta get in. You gotta get in. There's a healing anointing on my life. People in our church are getting healed. But I'm sick in my body. I said, God, really? I'm going to pray again. I'm going to be sick. And God said, don't worry about it, son. I got you later. I got you later. Just keep doing what I'm telling you to do. There's a healing anointing on my life. Last thing, and I'm done. I don't know what time it is, but oh well. They got it. They got it. All day Sunday. Wouldn't that be cool? And then you put some canopies out there all day Sunday in the parking lot. And everybody bring a little bit of food. Everybody bring food. Pitch in food. And then sit out there and have a little bit of food. And then come back in and have another Holy Ghost service. And all day, all day, all day. You can have chili competitions, sopapilla competitions, enchilada competitions. I'm getting hungry. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Come, Holy Spirit, come, 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 come. Come, Holy Spirit, come, 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 come. Come, Holy Spirit, come, 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 come. Come and feel this place. Come and feel this place. Come and feel this place. Come, 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 come. There's a revival, there's a revival, there's a revival. There's a revival, there's a revival, there's a revival. Come, Holy Spirit. God, this morning. Feel this place with your power, your fire. Last thing. You can be seated. Last thing. I promise you. Last thing. going to bring it in for a landing. There's an undercurrent in the world, and it wants to hit the church. And it's an undercurrent that wants to get the church to stop believing God for the impossible. To stop believing God that He is a miracle working God. And that He is able to do what He says He will do. There's an undercurrent. You ever been to the beach? Who's ever been to the beach? Raise your hand. I like to go to the beach. You play a little bit soft. I like to go to the beach. Take my kids, right? Put the blanket down, the ice chest, all the little chairs, right? Get in the water with my kids, just bam, just start throwing them in the air, right? Swim, it'll be all right. Right? Then you're there, then you look back up, you're like, hey, where'd my blanket go? My ice chest. But what you didn't realize was the undercurrent pulled you way down over here. You're like, oh man, there it is. It's over there. You're going to get out of the water and walk up on the sand. Get back to where your stuff's at. Get back in the water, play, have a good time. But now what happens is every once in a while, somebody say every once in a while. Every once in a while, what do? You look back. Say, okay, there's my stuff. I'm good. And you keep going, you keep going. Every once in a while, you look back and say, okay, boom, there's my stuff. I'm good. See, there's an undercurrent that's going to try to pull us away from the miracle working power of God. But every once in a while, we got to stop and say, oh, you are still a miracle working God. Baby, the Lord gave me a word for you, baby. The Lord gave me a word for you. He said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy is going to come in the morning. He said, I'm taking you through a season. And even though the season does not feel good, it's just a season. And every season comes to an ending. Just keep trusting in the Lord. Keep depending on the Lord. Keep having encounters with the Lord. Because when the season ends, you're going to come out so strong. And you're going to come out so anointed. And you're going to come out with so much wisdom. And I'm going to be a better disciple to you. Because she's way better than I am. Don't let the undercurrent take you, man. We're victorious. We were created to be victorious. And He is still a miracle-working God. Jesus told the disciples, get in the boat, we're going to go to the other side. All of a sudden, the wind started coming. Waves started crashing. Listen, the waves represent the world. We're in the world, but we're not part of this world. And the wind, there has to be a shift in our mentality. Instead of looking at the water as it's trying to take us out, no, it's just the world, but we're not part of the world. And instead of looking at the wind as the wind is too hard, it's scary, it's going to take me out, we got to start looking at the wind like this. The wind blows you to your victory. blows you to your victory. Go ahead and sing something behind me. We're going to watch. There's a gift. There's a gift. There's a gift. There's a gift.
Till you change my name, I'm no longer the same. No, I won't let go till you bless my soul. Till you change my name, I'm no longer the same.
Son makes fun of me because I always say, there's a gift on my life. There's a gift on my life. And so they imitate me. He'll walk around the house. There's a gift. There's a gift. There's a gift. But there really is a gift on my life.